Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's very good to be back. Don't ask me how my vacation was. There's never vacation for rabbis. We work hard, and that's what we've been doing during the course of this vacation. And one of the things, of course, that we succeeded in completing is one of the newest and most exciting websites on the World Wide Web, Rabbi Sholem Gold Online. On your way out, in the front, there are going to be these little cards that will give you the address.
Move it back.
All right. RabbiSholemGold.com. There are close to 1,000 shiurim audio and about 200-300 video. And I have to say publicly that if not for my wife, I would never have done it myself. She did all of the work, and it was a tremendous amount of work. All right. Now that we have that taken care of, and incidentally, now you'll understand why I'm wearing a blue shirt and a blue tie. Somebody called the house to say, you know, the wall behind you is white, and you're wearing a white shirt. Between the two of them, you know, it's a little bright sometimes. I have to use sunglasses to watch you on. I had nothing to do with this picture going up back there, but that certainly is going to break the background of white. So, at the time. All right. 2 weeks to Rosh Hashanah. There is certainly what I consider to be a brilliant, powerful essay of the Meshech Chacham Rav Meir Simcha HaKoyen Litvin Siddur. So it's probably 20 or 25 years that I wanted to teach this Meshech Chacham. But it needed a great deal of preparation, and I'm going to try my very best to convey to you the profound messages that are in this Meshech Chacham. It appears in Parashat Balak, of all places, and you'll see how it is related to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Number one, we have the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Begins at the end of the first line. Omri masoro psukim shal malchiot, va'asara shal zichronot, va'asara shal shofarot, bechol bracha. The three main significant brachas of the Musaf Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah are known to everybody. They are the brachas of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, in which we express, first of all, God as King. Rosh Hashanah is the day of God's coronation. So we quote 10 different psukim that express the idea of God's kingship in the world. Then the second significant added bracha to the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is Zichronot, where we bring another 10 psukim that describe the idea that God remembers. God remembers. God rewards. Nothing is forgotten by the Rebbe Yishlelem. The last bracha of the three added brachas in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is the bracha of Shofarot. 10 psukim that as well express the idea, the significance of the shofar, and it begins with the sounding of the shofar at Sinai. One of those. Poetically, each one of these brachas are extremely beautiful. Which means that the Shmona Esrei of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is different than any other Shmona Esrei or Amidah prayer of the whole year. During the course of any given day, Shmona Esrei is not really 18, it's really 19 brachos that we say in every one of our Shmona Esreis, but we continue to call it Shmona Esrei because there is a 19th bracha that was added, and that 19th bracha that was added is the bracha that says God should destroy, obliterate the enemies of Israel. It had to be inserted at a particular moment in history, and it's most probably even more significant today than it ever was. And lately, that's the bracha that I, after Refainu, that's the bracha that I have the greatest amount of kavana. And I'm waiting, I tell you, you know, it's going to happen. We know our situation, we're surrounded on enemies by all sides. God will break and shatter the enemies of Israel and subdue those who hate us. All right. So now, but on Shabbos, Shmoneh Esrei is a total of seven brachot. Every Shmoneh Esrei, everyone has the first three brachos. From the beginning until Hakel HaKadosh, the last three brachas from Ritzei until HaMavarech HaTamo Yisrael B'Shalom, that is every Shmoneh Esrei. The difference between one and the other is, what is there between Hakel HaKadosh, the end of the third bracha, and Ritzei and Modeh? So during the weekdays, 13 brachas. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, one bracha is added. The bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbat, God who sanctifies the Shabbos. Or the bracha of Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, God is the one who sanctifies Israel and the special times of the year. On Rosh Hashanah Musaf, the Tuesdays of Rosh Hashanah Musaf, only time that you have a Shmoneh Esrei of nine brachos. The first three and the last three, and the significant, great significant three in the middle, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. And the halacha is that each one of these three is expressed via 10 psukim. The 10 psukim are three from Torah, three from Ketuvim, and three from Nevi'im, that gives you nine. And incidentally, I wanted you to notice that I did not say Torah, then Nevi'im, and then Ketuvim. I said Torah, and then Ketuvim, and then Nevi'im. All of the psukim that are brought from Ketuvim are from Tehillim. And Tehillim of Dovar HaMelech preceded all of the prophets, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, chronologically, David precedes them. Therefore, in Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, you begin with three psukim in Torah, three psukim over Divrei Kodshecha Katuv Leimor, and in your holy words is written, and then it comes, Ayyadei HaNeviim, the prophets, three psukim from prophets, that gives us nine psukim, but we need 10. The Shulchan Aruch said, Omrim Asara psukim. The 10th, in the bracha at the end of each one, the 10th is another pasuk from Torah. So it means four psukim from Torah, three from Ketuvim, three from Nevi'im. That makes up the heart of the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, Musaf Rosh Hashanah. Omrim, again, Omrim, Asara Psukim Shel Malchio, 10 Psukim of Malchios, Asara Shel Zichronot, 10 of Zichronot, Asara Shel Shofrot, and 10 of Shofrot, Bechol Brach, and each one of the Brachos. Shlosha Mehem Shel Torah, 3 come from Torah, 3 come from Ketuvim, Shlosha Shel Nevi'im, 3 from the Prophets, Ve'echod Torah, Echod Shel Torah 1, a fourth one from Torah, and the 10th one. And if anybody wants to add psukim of his own to this, you're permitted. You're permitted. I wouldn't recommend it. No. Mihu, im lo hitchil b'shum pasuk, rak omar, ubetoratcha katuv leimor. Yotza, he says, if all a person said was betoratcha katuv Leimor, in your Torah it says the idea of Malchiyot Yotze. Alright. the Meshech Chachma is troubled, maybe even fascinated, by a few lines of the Gemara in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah. And there's so much we're going to learn from these few lines. Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. It really starts on the left-hand side of the paper. Bishlomo, left-hand side. And it goes on. No, that's it. I wrote Gemara Rosh Hashanah on the wrong side. I haven't done this in about 2 months. I was having difficulty cutting and pasting. I didn't remember what to do anymore. You know? I had to remember to get my camera ready, my MP3. A lot of things you have to remember. And then remember to take out a blue shirt and a blue tie. So here it is. Number two is on the left-hand side. Fascinating Gemara. Bishlam zichronot v'shofarot ikatuva. Psukim about zichronot that God remembers. And shofarot tuvah. There are many psukim. You have psukim in Torah, ketuvim, neviim, with the idea of shofar. You have an abundance of psukim in neviim and ketuvim that talk about zichronos v'shofros. Elo malchiot, but malchiot in Torah, tlat hu dehavyin. There are only three psukim. In Torah, there are only three psukim that describe God as king. You hear that? So, of course, there's going to be a big problem. The big problem is you're supposed to have four psukim in Torah of Malchut. But there are only three, the Gemara says. That's a serious problem. What are the three psukim? Watch this. And this is the Gemara. The Gemara says, what are the three psukim? These are Hashem Elokov Imo Utruat Melech Bo. Of all things, this is said by Bilam. Bilam Arosha says, God, his God is with him. Utruat Melech Bo. The friendship, the word Trua over here comes from the friendship of the king is in him. Who's the king? The king is the relationship. So we have a pasuk that describes God as king. The second pasuk is a famous pasuk. It appears in Parashat Ha'azinu. Vayihi b'Yeshurun Melech. Yeshurun is Yisroel. God was the king in Yeshurun. Vayihi b'Yeshurun Melech. B'taseif Rosh Hayom Yachad Shifte Yisrael, famous pasuk, Vayihi v'Yeshurun Melech. And the third pasuk is Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed. God will rule forever and ever after. You know where that pasuk appears? That pasuk appears in Parshat B'Shach. It's at the end of the Shira. Alright? Now get this. The Gemara is saying in all of Torah there are three psukim that describe God as king. And what are the three psukim? They bring them in a very strange order. The Gemara brings it in the order first, the pasuk from Parshas Balak, Hashem Likov Imo Tuat Melech Bo. The second is a pasuk in Parshat Hazinu, Zot Avracha, at the very end of Torah. And the third pasuk that the Gemara brings is from Parshat B'Shalach. What kind of an order is that? Incidentally, in our Musaf Shmon Esrei, we don't say it in that order. You know what order we say it in? The order that it appears in the Torah. And you know what? Just take a look immediately to the right. There I have the bracha as we say it in the Shmon Esrei. Hashem Elokeinu. Remember, in Malchiot, Musaf Rosh Hashanah, we start Malchiot with Aleinu L'Shabeach. Aleinu, and here it is. This is the end of Aleinu. Ki Amalchut, kingdom is yours. Ula'olim me'ad timloch b'chavod, and forever you will rule in great honor. Ka'katov b'toratacha. Here is the beginning of Malchios, as it is written in your Torah. First pasuk. Hashem yimloch olam v'ed. That's the first pasuk that appears in Torah that describes God as king. That's Parshat B'Shalach. V'ne'emar, and it also says, and this is the pasuk from Parshat Balak, Lo hibit ovam b'Yakov v'lo ra'o omel b'Yisrael. God did not see iniquity in Yaakov, nor did he see sinfulness in Israel. Hashem Elokov imo, God, his God is with him, utruat melech bo. Are they saying the affection of the king, the friendship of the king is in him? Second pasuk of Malchios from Parshat Balak. And then, v'ne'emar, and it also says, third pasuk, the pasuk from Zot HaBracha, v'yehi b'yishuron melech, b'taseif rasheyom, yachad shiftei Yisrael. So in other words, in davening, we say the three psukim of Malchiot in the order in which they appear in Torah. Why did the Gemara put it in a completely different order? When the Gemara says, listen, there are only three psukim of Malchus in Torah, they give a very strange order. Not the one that we will use in davening, but no, it chooses Balak first, Zot HaBracha second, and B'Shalach third. What does this mean? So the fact is that the Meshech Chochmah brings one of the Rishonim that says, you know, the Gemara just, you know, wasn't so precise. The Gemara wasn't so precise. I have this strong feeling that the Meshech Chochmah is not ready to accept something as simple as that. What do you mean the Gemara wasn't precise? They just threw a jumble of psukim at you? They didn't edit, they didn't check it out, they didn't know the order that they were writing in. You're telling me that a few lines of Gemara were just, okay, we wrote it just like that, okay, so we made a mistake, so we didn't put it in order. That's not going to wash. If that's the way it was written and enshrined in Talmud forever and ever after, Meshech Chochmah holds there has to be a reason for it. He's right. Now you have to see what this great Gaon is going to come up with. Going to come up with something that's going to take us on a fascinating journey. By the way, I know that we still have a question to answer. If there are only three psukim in Torah that talk about God as king, so what are we going to do? We need a fourth pasuk from Torah. So the Gemara brings Rav Huna, who says in the words of Rabbi Yossi, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is a powerful expression of God's kingship in the world, even though the word Melech, king, is not used there. And that's exactly what we do in davening. In the bracha, we're going to end with the fourth pasuk from Torah, which is the tenth in the list of brachas of Malchus, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So now, what is the significance of the disorder, so to speak, of the Gemara? I'll tell you, you know, if you look down at the bottom of the page, you'll see, you know, I tried to be a little artistic and I failed miserably. Hashem Melech. See on the right hand side, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Lolam Ve'ed. But how often do we say that pasuk? Wait a minute. Where is this pasuk? Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Lolam Ve'ed. I'm not even going to let anybody attempt to answer it because I'm going to make you look foolish. I don't want to take that chance. Chas v'shulam. There is no such pasuk. There is no such pasuk. It was made up by the rabbis. It's segments of three different psukim. The first one is in Tillim, the second one is in Divrei Hayamim, and Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ve'ed, we know where that is. That's in Parshas Bishalach. It's a made-up pasuk. If you want to really get somebody who you're after, just ask them, where is this pasuk? Now, do it with a straight face. You have to ask them with a straight face. You know, I've been looking all over for Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ve'ed. I can't find it. Oh, certainly it's in Tillim. No, maybe it's in Shayahu. Mem Aleph. It ain't. It's no place. Chazal made it up. The Meshech Chochma is going to use this created pasuk in order to explain the Gemara in the Sechta Rosh Hashanah. Hashem Melech is present tense. Hashem Moloch is past tense. God was king. Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed is future. Present, past, future. Why did they do the pasuk in that order? So the Shochachim says, because in terms of a human being sensual, we experience things in our mind via our senses. We see, we feel, we hear, we touch. What always makes the most powerful imprint and impact on us? Always the present. Because I'm feeling it now through all of my senses. My whole body, I feel the present. I'm living in the present. Baruch Hashem. Second in terms of intensity is of course the past. Why? Because the past once did impact on me physically, emotionally, intellectually. But what remains of the past, of course, is memory. Either I remember well or I remember not that well. But memory leaves an impact on the mind. The future is only imagination. Anticipatory has absolutely nothing to do with sense, sensual feeling. Nothing. There's nothing physical about the future. The future is completely in the mind. Completely the result of our ability to imagine, all imagination. Memory, past, has already impacted on us. The present is impacting on us right now. The future? Sarab Meshech Chochma says, this strange order in which the Gemara placed the three psukim of Malchios follow the model of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Olam Ve'ed. The first pasuk they bring is the pasuk in Parshat Balak, where Bilam says, Hashem Elokav Imo, his God is with him, Utruat Melech Bo, the friendship and the affection of the king is in him. The second pasuk that the Gemara brings is the past. Vayehi b'Shuron Melech. He was king in Israel. Because memory comes second to the sense perception of the present. And the third pasuk that the Gemara brings is future. Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ve'ed. So that the Meshech Chochma has, first of all, he has already accomplished step one. Step one is that it's not simply they just put it in the Gemara listed the three psukim in some kind of a haphazard order. There is nothing haphazard to that order. it will not be the order in which we're going to say Malchus and Shmon Esrei. Oh, but boy, there's a great deal that the Gemara is imparting to us by virtue of the fact that it put those three psukim in that order. You know, the Gemara, of course, could have used a different order. The Gemara could have said, Vayehi Bishurim Melech B'Taseif Rosh Hayom, followed by Yimloch Hashem L'Olam Va'ed, and then Hashem L'Kavim Mo Tuat Melech. You know, when you have three psukim, you have a number of combinations. But there was a specific combination that was used. And that combination was present, past, future. Because that's human experience. All right? Let's see what other ways this appears to us. Take a look, number three, the Shmon Esrei of Yom Kippur. Elokeinu ve'elokei aviteinu, this is the bracha in the Shmon Esrei Yom Kippur. Mechol la'avonoteinu, this is in every Shmon Esrei Yom Kippur. Mechol la'avonoteinu b'yom ha'kippurim hazeh, forgive our sins on this Yom Kippur. Mechev ha'aver p'sho'einu v'chatoteinu m'neged echa, erase and remove our rebelliousness and our sins from before your eyes. Ka'omor, as it says, these are psukim from Sefer Yeshayahu, and we'll get to the psukim later. Onochi, onochi, hu moche psha'echa lemani. I am the one who erases your sins for my sake. What tense is that? Present. God is speaking to the Jewish people, and he says, I'm the one. I'm erasing your sins. I'm not going to remember your sins. Now they bring a second pasuk from Yeshayahu. Machiti ka'av pisha'echa v'cha'anam chatotecha. I have erased in the past your sins and your transgressions. Shuva elai, return to me, kiga'alticha, because I have redeemed you. V'ne'emar, they bring a third pasuk. Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem letaher etchem mikol chatotechem l'shnei Hashem titaru. On this day, he will forgive you in order to purify you from all of your sins. Before God, you will be purified. The third pasuk is future. What order did the davening use over here? It used the order of present, past, future. Is that the order of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed? Is that the order of Hashem L'Kavu Mo Imo Tuat Melech Bo Vayehi Bishurim Melech Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed? Okay, we've done step one. What about angels? Malachim. Does the same order apply to them? How do they experience events within whatever you call their lifetime or their existence and their being? How do they deal with it? So he says, and by the way, a second question. What about God himself? What about God himself? What are God's experiences? What's the order of past, present, and future as far as God is concerned? Huh? There isn't. But we got it for our sake. For our... Meshech Chochmah says, you know what the order is? As far as God is concerned, past and future. Because he is all of before, and he will be all of what comes. The present is the smallest atom of a second, the least significant of all. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo is the vast expanse of all of I can't even use the word history. It's not history. The existence of God, immeasurable in the past and in the future. The present is the least significant of the aspect of God's existence. Because remember, the present has already turned into the past, and that next millisecond that was future is now past, and it's present, and now it's past. I mean, there's no way to hold on to the present. The present is just. I mean, I think sometimes we feel godlike. The present läuft. Time, I don't know, is it as we grow up? I don't want to use the term grow older. We don't grow older, we're growing up. And it seems that time is passing so rapidly, it's unbelievable. It may be also of a function of the age in which we live, that time is rubbish, flying. Before you know it, I mean, I just finished Havdalah and we're beginning to talk about what we're going to do for Shabbos. You know, it's unbelievable. So as far as the Revelation is concerned, it's past and future. And you're going to see how this is going to play itself out in Psukim and the very important ideas. And the least significant for the Revelation is the moment of the present. Here, if you just go for a moment, turn over to the other side. Number one, second line. Kol Amar Hashem Melech Yisrael VeGoalo Hashem Tzvakot. So says God, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the God of hosts. Listen, God speaking. Ani Rishon, v'ani Acharon, u'mibaladai ein Elokim. Do you see the order? Ani Rishon, past, I was always here. Ani Acharon, I'll always be here. And what's the third thing? U'mibaladai, and aside from me, right now, this moment in history, ein Elokim, there is no other God. Ein Elohim, there is no other God. So what's the order of the pasuk? This is a pasuk when God is speaking about himself. So he takes the past and the future. They go side by side because they are the vast expanse of eternity. The vast expanse of eternity. And then, Umibaladai, Ein Elohim. And aside from thee, there is no other. The next pasuk, number two. Also a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Shema Elei Yaakov, listen to me Yaakov, Yisrael Mekorai. And Yisrael to whom I have called. I want you to know about me. Anihu, Ani Rishon, Af Ani Acharon. The vast expanses, both sides, past and future. And in the present, what I have done, I created the world. So as far as the Chabad Hashem is concerned, as far as God is concerned, past and future, and third comes the present. Now, let's take a look at the number three, the third pasuk in Yeshayahu, we've already dealt with. The third pasuk in Yeshayahu, we've dealt with because that's the one of the pasukim that's brought in the Shemone Esrei Yom Kippur. Anochi, Anochi, Hu Mocheh Pishoecha. I am the one who erases your sins. God is now talking in the present. Why is he talking into the present? Because he's talking to us. And he has to relate what he is saying to us. Anochi anochi hu mokepsu echolamani v'chato secho lo ezkor. Right? Let's go a little further. Number four. Atem edain umashem. God says, you are my witnesses, says God. V'avdi asher b'charti, the servant whom I chose. L'man teidu v'ta'aminu li v'tovinu ki anihu. Present is first, in order that you should know, and you should believe, and you should understand, ki ani hu, I am him. Lefonai lo notzar kel, v'acharai lo yihyeh. Lefonai, here we have, the present is first, the past is second, the future is third, because he's talking to us and he's saying to us, Aten Edai, you are my witnesses. So now it appears in the order in which we experience things, which is the past first, and the present first, the past, and then the future. I think it's also, he points this out as well. There are three expressions here in the pasuk. Anihu, present, before me in the past, lo notzah, v'acharai, and after me, lo yihyeh, there will be none other. And there are also three expressions that precede. Leman teidu, so that you should know, v'ta'aminu, and believe, v'tovinu, and understand. Each one represents a different segment of time. Teidu is the present. In the present, I am. This knowledge has entered God, the knowledge of God. I know it by my sense perception right now. Taminuli, that which I know from the past is something that requires my faith. I have to know that, as Rashi, the famous Rashi, said, Keli vamveu ala ke ovi va'arau memenu, the God of my father, from him I get belief, I believe. Lo ani tchilat hakedusha, I'm not the one who began this all. El muhzeket v'omedet li, I have it with me from the days of my fathers. And then v'tovinu, once you know the present and you know the past, then you will be able to understand that there will be none aside from me into all of eternity. Yeah, okay. Let's go through the next two psukim anyway, and then we'll get back to what we really want to say. Zechor Eile, number five, Zechor Eile Yaakov, B'Yisrael, Ki Avdi Ata, Yitzarticha, Mochiticha Av Pisha'echa. In number three, we learn the pasuk of Anochi, Anochi, the present, that appears in the davening of Yom Kippur. Anochi, Anochi, hu mocha pishoecha, I am the one who erases, present, I erase your sins now. In number five, we have the other pasuk in Yeshayahu, Machisi ka'av pishoecha, I erase your sins like the cloud. V'cha'anan chatotecha shuva elai, return to me ki ga'alticha. Number six is talking about Avram Avinu, and he's telling Avram Avinu, mi pa'al v'osa, who did and made, who did everything? Koreha Dorot Medosh. Who was the one that was able to know the knowledge of all the generations from the very, very beginning? He knew it all. Ani Hashem Rishon Ve'et Achronim Ani Hu. I, God, am the one who was always here, and I am the God who will be here at the very end. So these two, past and future, are fused together by the Rebbeinu Shem. The least significant by him is the present. Okay. Back over to the first side. The angels. The angels in heaven. Now, of course, you can see that on the first page down there, I gave you already the order of things. For men, it says present, past, future. Angels, for angels, it's past comes first. You know why? Because in their form of experience, they experience it already. They have one thing over us. They don't forget. Which we, something that happened in the past, so you know, with the passage of time, forget. At some point in life, it doesn't take too much time to forget. But that's the way it is. We forget because the sensual experience diminishes as time goes on. But they did not receive knowledge through a physical sense experience. Their experience is something that came to them in some kind of a divine intellectual way. That does never diminishes. It always remains with the same impact it had at the moment that they received it. Their past is never diminished. If anything, Mashiach Chochmah seems to indicate that by them, passage of time only intensifies that which they received in the past. Because whatever they received in the past was a divine communication on a divine level, the kind of communication that we are incapable of understanding. All right? So therefore, by angels, the past, and then of course the present, whatever communications they receive now, the future, I don't believe that they even have the anticipatory nature that man has. Man can anticipate, he can imagine. I don't think they have that. By then, there's no question about it that the future is the least significant. Of that, there's no question. All that we have to deal with when we're dealing with the angels is past and present. And in that order, past and present. The future is nothing. I would even venture to say, if there is never a divine communication to them afterwards, so there is no future. They only have that which they received in the past and which they receive now in the future. Talmud Yerushalmi number 4. Here we're going to see something that has to do with the angels. Fascinating piece of Gemara. Talmud Yerushalmi. We haven't learned a Yerushalmi in a long time. Talmud Yerushalmi says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, first time. La'olam ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Ba'olamo Davar Ad Shenimlach BeBetim Shel Mala. God never does anything on this world without consulting with his Bedin up in heaven. He calls the angels together. I mean, we see that at the very beginning of Torah, where he says, Nase Adam b'tzalmenu u'kidvutenu. He says, let us make a man in our image, in our form. God consults with his angels. God does nothing in this world. Ad shenimlach b'beidin shel mal, until he consults with the Bedin up in heaven. Matan brings a pasuk, I think it's in Daniel, ve'emet hadavar utzavar gadol. It's true because he consulted with his great hosts in heaven. Ematai chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet. When is the seal? The Gemara says a number of places, and this is one of them. The seal of God is truth. When is the seal of God truth? When he consults with his Bedin above, then it's true. Oh, Rabbi Lezer. Kol mokom shenema Hashem, wherever it says Hashem, it means hu ubedino, he and his court. Ubinyan of shebekulam, and the place where we learn this, Vashem diber olav ra'ah, it's a story in Tanakh, where the Navi describes what's happening in heaven, that in the very heavens they decided that Ahav, king of Israel, Hosha, they spoke about him up there, evil. That means they decided that the time has come for Ahav to die, and he goes out to battle that day and he dies. What is the seal of the Holy One, blessed be He? Rabbi b'shem Rab Ruvain Emet. Emet is the seal. Mahu Emet, Amar Rabban. Rabban said, Shehu Elohim Chayim Umelech Olam. God is the living God and the King of eternity. It'll all come together in a moment. Amar Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish said the following. The word Emet is made up of three letters. Aleph, Mem, Tav. Aleph is the first letter in the alphabet. Tav is the last letter in the alphabet. Mem is the middle of the alphabet. You know what the word Emet represents? The word Emet represents the Aleph is the past, the Mem is the present, the Tav is the future. Let me ask you, in whose experience is it past, present, and future? The angels. The angels are past because that they experienced already and they never forget it. And present, future, is just nebulous. There may not even be a future. So Resh Lakish is saying the seal of God is Emet, because that seal can only be accomplished by virtue of the fact that he has consulted with the angels of heaven. And in the word Emet, we see past, present, future. Yeah. Angels. God consults with his with the heavenly bodies. Meshach Chachma is going to go on to say, Bereshit bara Elokim. What are the letters, the last letters of those three words? Bereshit ends with a
Tav.
Bara, an Aleph. Aleph. Elokim, Men. What are the otiyot of Bereshit Bara Elokim? Emet, right? But what's the order? What's the order? The tough is the future, and the second letter is Aleph, which is the past, and Elokim, the Mem, is the present. In whose experience do future and past go together, and the present is not significant at all? That's the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because Bereshit Bara Elokim was on the first day. On the first day, there were no angels. The angels weren't created until the second day. So that on the first day, it's Bereshit Bara Elokim, and there it's future, past, and then present. That's the Rabbeinu Shalom. What's the point of where we're going to? There got to be a point to it. So first of all, one of the points, and I think that this, as far as Meshach Chachma is concerned, this is the most significant point. Yeah. There's no such thing as the Gemara having simply said something haphazardly. Yeah. They wanted to quote a few psukim, so they quoted in whatever order they want. Cannot be. If the psukim are quoted, the three psukim of Malchus are quoted as they are in the Gemara, there has to be reason for it and good reason. Indeed, when we say it in Shmoneh Esrei, we're going to use the order of Torah. But there's a message that's imparted by the Gemara having used a different order. The order of the way man experiences God's kingship in the world. Present, past, and future. In Shmoneh Esrei, we're going to have to do it according to the order in which it appears in Torah. Hashem Yimloch L'olam Ve'ed is in Parashat Peshach. Hashem lekavi mo tuat melabo appears in Tashit Bolam. Vayehi bishul melech appears in Zot Habracha. That's where it's going to appear. But the ultimate point, and this is me, I'm using the Meshech Chachmah in order to express an idea. And that's on the second page. Is it the second page? Bottom of the second page. Shuvo Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Shuvo Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. God, Israel returned to God. The fact is, in next week, said the famous Parashat HaTshuva in Parashat Nitzavim, the Shafta ad Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean, the Shafta ad Hashem Elokecha? Or more than that, how does Tshuva help? How does... Wait. Don't try to answer. That was not... Yeah. How does Tshuva help? You did an Aveira, an act of rebellion. Whatever you did was done. How can you undo what was done? It happened. You did it.
Not do it again.
You killed somebody, you killed somebody. Chas v'shalom. You worship the Avodah Zarah. Yes, how does it work? How does it work? What do you mean? So you'll say, Machiti, I have erased. How does God erase? What do you mean you erased? Hey, God can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you how it works. You know how it works? If man is able to have regret and a profound sense of tshuva, and that tshuva brings him closer to God, the yisod of tshuva, the mabit, one of the members of the bedin of the of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Tzfat in the 1600s, he says the essence of tshuva, the essence of tshuva, his one-liner, Krevo l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, drawing close to God, Acharei Richuk HaChet, after being distanced as a result of sin. The Rambam says it. Yesterday this person was despised, rejected by God. He had simply, you abandoned God, finished. You're out. Goodbye. You're gone. The process of tshuva is man brings himself closer and closer to God. How close? Shuva Yisrael, Israel, turn, return, Ad Hashem Elokecha. You know how tshuva works? If a person is, through a sense of real regret, comes closer to the Rabbeinu Shalem, and he becomes one who does tshuva me'ahav, out of love, then you know what happens to him? He is swept up into God's time frame, not a human time frame. Human beings live on the basis of past, present, and future. And if we live past, present, and future, so what we did in the past was done. There's no way to undo that. But what happens if I am now within the parameters of the Rabbeinu Shalom himself, I'm swept up into his time frame? Past, present, and future become absolutely meaningless. Everything is taking place within one time sphere, and in that same one time sphere that I sinned, I also did tshuva, and it's erased. Doesn't appear anymore. This is going to be a shtickle, a theme of the I have another shir on this idea. The idea that we are moved from one time frame into another. That's Ad Hashem Elokecha. And once I enter into that time frame, I am no longer living with the limitations of a past that I did and I can't undo, because that past becomes now part of the Rabbeinu Shalom's present and future. And in that time frame, the Rabbeinu Shalom forgives. Because in that time frame, once you have become that close to him through Avat Hashem, The sin doesn't exist anymore. It didn't happen in this time frame altogether. So that's the, ultimately, that's going to be the sod of tshuva. Kirvat ha'adam acharei harichuk, man coming close to the Rabbeinu Nishon after he had been distanced. He comes close to him. So we have learned. We have learned, number one, I just hold that this Meshech Chachma is, his insight into the Gemara is powerful. It means, therefore, there's no such thing as a Gemara that's just haphazard. Cannot be. Our rabbis wrote and they published, then there's meaning and significance and power to everything that they wrote. And with this, we've also we've begun to understand a lot of psukim, and there will be many, many others. You'll start picking it up different places that you may come across the idea of these three time frames, how they are experienced by man, Malach, and the Rabbeinu Shem himself. That's it.